We have, since the beginning of the year, talking about priorities, and just ended it last week with the priority of the mission of God and how we are called to go and take this gospel to the ends of the earth. So today I start a new series on hearing the voice of God, the voice. Which voice will you turn for? I don't know if you watched The Voice. I have a friend of mine that's going to be on it coming up in February next week, this week, from Joplin. The pastor's son from Joplin is going to be on The Voice. So I don't text, I don't vote, I just watch. I stomach the music, but, you know, watch it. And some of it's good. But I like it when God raises up young Christian people and puts them before the nation, and they testify the goodness of God. How many believe it's time for God's people to show out there that God has given them talent and gifts as well? It's time, and so he'll be on there next week. But that's not why I did this. I just love that slide. And the Lord has been dealing with me about, priorities are a great way to start the year, but also after priorities comes simplicity. God's people need to hear the voice of God. I mean, seriously, every day there are people that ask me about direction. What is God doing in their life? What is their next step? Where are they heading? What is God saying in the middle of a trial or turmoil or family situation or whatever the case might be? I don't know, friends. I'm glad all of my life I look for one thing. God, help me hear, you know, your voice. All of my life, that's one thing I've chased in God. And I want to be sensitive. I want your Holy Spirit to help me to hear you loud and clear, whether it's a whisper or a shout. You know, I don't know if God ever shouts at you, you know, but he's said a few things to me. So I want to talk to you today as we begin this series on A Quieted Soul, a series on hearing God's voice, the simplicity of it, because I think a lot of people take in prayer. Now, this is more than prayer. Prayer is one, many times people use prayer as just one-sided, as talking to God, and normally it's when they have a need. Usually when we have a need or a crisis, we run to God, and so many people don't even do that. They run to every other resource they have, and then as a last resort, they go to God. Are you hearing me this morning? And I think God's people ought to be the people who are filled with prayer and worship and sensitive to the Holy Spirit speaking. And how many would like to tune in and hear more of the voice of God? So maybe this will be for you, and we can see what God is doing. So part one is going to be from John chapter 10. We may not read every verse, but if you want to follow along, I think I have most of the verses on the screen. And verse 3, to him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name. God knows you personally. I don't know if you realize that today, but whether you have come to him yet or not, he knows you and died on the cross before you ever made a decision for him. He already knows you, right? But when it comes to hearing the voice of God, he calls them by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. You know, Jesus came to a people that did not recognize who he was. Verse 7, Jesus said it to them again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door, though, and if anyone enters by me, he will be saved. How many know that's good news? There's only one name under heaven whereby a man can be saved, and that is the name of Jesus, right? And will go in and out and find pasture. I believe green pastures. And then the thief does not come except to steal and kill and destroy. We know that verse. Jesus said, I've come that they might have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd, he said, and I know my sheep, verse 14, and am known by my own. My own people know me, he says. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. That's you and me. Come on now. I wish the Gentiles would help me preach today. He said, I have some more, and I'm going to bring them in, and they will hear my voice too. And there will be one flock and one shepherd. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep. Right? I did that one already. All right. Let's see. Did I redo that again? Woo. Glory to God in the highest. Let me see what's happening. Forget it. God bless America. Let me go to my Bible since that didn't work. Sometimes technology is so beautiful. Let's go to verse 15. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them I also must bring. And they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it up again. This command I have received from my Father. And then I want you to go down to verse 22. Now it was the feast of dedication in Jerusalem, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple at Solomon's porch. Then the Jews surrounded him and said to him, how long do you keep us in doubt? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. There you go, you found it. Thank you, Justin. Jesus answered to them, I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you do not believe, because you are not of my sheep, as I said to you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. This is a declaration Jesus makes several times in John chapter 10. It is the good shepherd. It's the story of the good shepherd. He is the way. How many know he is the way, the truth, and the life? Everything, my friend, you'll ever need in this life, you can find tied to Jesus. And if that's true, and it is, then you really need to hear his voice. If he has the answer to all of our situations, we really need to hear what he has to say about the situation. Now, listen, in our culture today, there are so many voices. I remember as a young pastor, my first church I pastored, I was wanting some help. How many ever get to a place in your Christian walk where you needed help? Some resource, some outside counsel, somewhere to go to, somebody to tell you, somebody to give you a lending hand. And I'll tell you, there's a lot of preachers in our culture, but not a lot of fathers. I said, there's a lot of pastors, but not a lot of shepherds. Is anybody hearing me this morning? What this generation needs is somebody that they could go to that could help them. And as a young pastor, I ran from one conference to the other conference. And finally, I was in my altar time in my church, my last church. I'm walking around. And I just said, Lord, I don't know. You know, John Maxwell says this, and this one says that, and I don't even know these people. Would you speak to me, God? How many glad we can have a relationship with Jesus personally? You don't have to run off to every conference and every council. You can just talk to Jesus. And this one thinks you ought to do it that way. And this one thinks you ought to do it this way. And Lord, I said, Lord, I just need your perspective. And he said, just slow it down a little bit. You know, God knows me. God knows my temperament. God knows that my ailments and my disorders, okay? He knows I have hurry sickness, of which many in America have. And we rush through and we listen to all these voices, and there's all kinds. I mean, there's the voice of Satan. I said, you have a real enemy out there who speaks. And the church acts as if God doesn't speak, but he's very much. God has much to say. Melissa says all the time, she's an intercessor. She sits and listens to the voice of God and listens to God. And she says, you know what? If we will stop talking, God has a lot that he would like to say. So prioritizing is one thing. Worship, prayer, evangelism, missions, discipleship, you know, faith and holiness, all the things we talked about the first of the year. But now we have to simplify. We prioritized, and now we have to simplify. Quiet our soul and gear our ear toward the voice of God. And I think it would be advantageous for us. I think we would learn a lot, and we would be able to get clear from the other voices, unfortunately, that are calling out the devil, the world, your own imaginations, all the things that are pressing in your time. You know, this is not the day of the Waltons. I mean, no, the day of the Waltons is far long gone. And it seemed to me, maybe not so, but it seemed to me, when life was simpler And we weren't chasing things so much. Parents today both work. We're raising children in a very busy culture. We're running here, we're running there. We're very, very busy. It's not like Mama Walton can bake some cookies and the babies come home and just let's sit down and talk. That's an old day gone by. And I think because of that and many other things about modernity and the progress we've made, God bless America, you know, we've got so many things that we have that supposed are an advantage to us that I believe has actually set us back from pressing in, quieting our soul, and hearing from the Lord. And so I want us to consider three things today, prerequisites, first of all, of hearing the voice of God. I think there's some prerequisites. If you're going to hear the voice of God, there are some things different between those who heard the voice in John 10 and those who didn't understand or perceive or comprehend. Now, you can hear a lot of things. It doesn't mean you're going to perceive and retain and understand. Many of you are hearing my voice today. Some are going to internalize the Word of God, hear it, and do something about it, perceive it, understand it. Some of you say, I can't understand a thing you're saying, Pastor. Well, listen, if we will listen, take notes, and concentrate, focus on what the Lord is saying to us, it will help us. It's a prerequisite, slowing it down and quieting our souls and hearing what the Lord is saying. The Jews surrounded him, verse 24 through 27, and said, how long do you keep us in doubt? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. You know, the Lord doesn't always, you know, give you the plain. You know, I mean, sometimes he gives you this, and then by faith you follow this, and then you follow it out, and he'll give you the next direction later. God doesn't give you all the details all the time. And if you're not intently listening to what he says now, you might miss what he says later. It's a process of listening. So Jesus answered and said to them, I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you do not believe because you're not of my sheep. As I said to you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. So what's required, Pastor, for what's the best conditions to really hear the voice of God? What makes it relevant to us today? His voice, a stranger's voice, doesn't mean anything to me because it's not relevant to me. I want to talk to people who know me. In fact, we were taught as children, what? What do we do with strangers? Don't talk to strangers, right? Don't talk to strangers. You know, you don't know them, right? So Jesus is making this parallel. He's saying, I want you to hear me. And if you're going to understand my voice, you're going to have to come to me through the cross. Salvation, number one, it's going to take salvation. So salvation is important. It's a prerequisite. You know, my sheep hear my voice. So there's a lot of carnal people that cannot comprehend the things of God because their mind has not been regenerated. They have not come to Christ. You know, before I came to Jesus, I didn't know a lot. I didn't know anything. I didn't know the Bible. I didn't know God in any source because I didn't read the Bible. I didn't pray. I didn't know God at all. I didn't go to church, so I didn't hear any preaching. Nobody ever preached to me, you know. And so that's why it's important that the church go out and proclaim the good news. You may be the only gospel anybody hears because we act as if everybody goes to church and retains. But there's a lot of people in church that are not sheep. In fact, some of them say they're sheep and dress like wolves. Is anybody going to help preacher preach today? Wolves in sheep clothes. All right? So there's a lot of pretending going on, and people think that they're... And the Jews are God's people. They say, we want you to tell us plainly. He said, you're not saved. John 9:31. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly person who does his will. Okay? The first prayer that God's going to listen from a sinner is the prayer of repentance. And then once you repent, God will receive you. You will be, your mind will be illuminated. Your heart will be open. Your life will be changed. Does anybody believe that salvation, Jesus changes everything? Your mind is transformed. The old mind is being renewed. And now you have a new way of thinking, a new way of understanding. And God opens up the Bible to you. I remember when I first got saved, I began to read the Bible. And wow. Was God ever a wow to you? You know, maybe we lost the wonder and the wow of our experience of salvation, but God says that we know God hears us, but sinners he hears their repentance. John 8:47, he who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear because you are not of God. So there's a lot of people going to church but not coming to Christ. If you want to know God and hear the voice of God, you have to have a relationship with God. Does anybody say amen to that? And so, at John 18:37, you are a king then, said Pilate. Pilate's conversing with Jesus. Jesus said, you say that I am a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. It is about a relationship. Religion is not going to help you hear from God. You may as well talk to a stone God. You have to have a relationship with Jesus Christ to hear the voice of Christ. Amen? And then also receptivity. He said in verse 1 of chapter 10, verily, verily, I say unto you, the sheep sheep will follow him. Verse 4, they hear my voice and they follow him. So he's talking to his sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto you. He's talking to a specific people in John 10. My sheep hear my voice. And it's awesome, you know, when I talk to a lot of missionaries who are in European countries that talk to sheep and I talk to sheep every week. Some of them are good sheep and some of them are bad sheep. No. I love all the sheep. But they tell me about European shepherds, and they say that you can tell a good shepherd from a bad shepherd by the condition of the sheep. If a good shepherd, not a hireling, because John 10 talks about a hireling doesn't care for the sheep. He doesn't have a relationship with the sheep. So a hireling sleeps under the tree, and the sheep just waddle around in the mud, and their wool gets all knotted up, and they're just not taken care of, and the bugs are eating them up, and they're thirsty, and they're hungry, and they're mad, and they're not good. And then the good shepherd, their sheep are white and clean and groomed, well-fed and fat. Hallelujah. And so he's saying that there's a difference, he said. I want you to hear my words. Look at Revelation 3 and 20. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person, and they will eat with me. It is a relationship that Lord is looking for. You have to have reciprocation. You have to receive. He gave his life. Is anybody glad that Jesus gave his life for the sheep? That is a fact. You didn't deserve it. You didn't earn it. I didn't earn it. I couldn't get good enough to get it. He laid down his life. And Pilate was trying to say, don't you know I have authority over you? And Jesus said, only authority you have is the one I gave you. We didn't take Jesus' life. He laid it down. And that's the wonderful story of the gospel. Amen? And for the grace of God, we're all excited, right? That's the story, but we have to receive it. God is a speaking God. I wish somebody would help me here. God speaks. The problem is not God speaking. The problem is our receptivity. I don't know if you've been part of the CB. How many CB generations? Anybody in the CB generation? You know, the CB? Breaker 1-9. Anybody? Breaker 1-9. You know, that was big. I think I had a CB. And Mr. Jerry had a CB in his boat. His breaker name was Green Bean. Isn't that right, Jerry? Green Bean. Y'all can call him Green Bean after church because that was his. What do you call it? Handle? Your handle? His handle was Green Bean. CB radio. Think breaker 1-9. Here's the deal. If you were going to communicate with somebody, you had to get on the right channel. Usually it's channel 9. Right, channel 9? Breaker 1-9. 1-9. It was 19. So breaker 1-9. Get on channel and you can talk to them. If you don't get in the channel with God, if you're not saved, if you don't receive, if you don't get in tune, if you don't get in alignment, if you don't hear the voice of God because you may not be in alignment. John 8:43. Why do you not understand my speech? My actual words spoken, said, because you cannot hear. You cannot perceive, you cannot comprehend the sense of what is said with the intent of obeying my words, he said. The expression, my logos, the expression and concept of the idea of what I mean when I'm talking to you, what I'm talking about. It's not one thing to hear the voice of the Spirit. It's another thing to comprehend what he's saying to us. How do you put that in context? God is working some things out. He wants to talk to you. He has good advice for you. He has good counsel for you. The Lord wants to speak to you. In fact, a lot of times he just wants to be with you. It's not like a Santa Claus in heaven that just wants to answer every question you have, and he just wants to dialogue with you. He just wants to be with you. And they were listening to what he said, but they were not capable of understanding because they did not want to understand. Have you ever tried to talk to somebody that refused to comprehend? Like sometimes your children. Those who will not give room in their hearts to his truth will not understand his speech, the outward form of his language, which is his words. He is the living word. How many know Jesus is the living word? And he has spoken words. And he has it through his word. He has a lot of ways. But Matthew 17:5 says, while he was still speaking, a bright cloud covered them, and a voice from the cloud said, this is my son whom I love. With him I am very well pleased. And then look at the last part of that. Listen to him. God the Father, at Jesus' baptism, sends a blessing, a pleasing of the Father to the Son, and then says to us, this is my Son, to all of those watching, all the disciples of Christ. This is my Son. He's fulfilling my will. He hears my voice. There's an open, receptive communication. Listen to him, because when he speaks, it's just like me speaking. And so, while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And God spoke. So the Holy Spirit also speaks. Today, Hebrews says, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the day of the provocation. As they wandered through the wilderness, and there was no voice of God, and God wasn't speaking. It wasn't that God wasn't speaking. God was speaking to Moses. But they weren't willing to hear what he was saying. Amen? So third thing is faith. It takes faith. Verse 3 of chapter 10, the sheep hear his voice. Verse 27, my sheep hear my voice. How many times does he say that in chapter 10? My sheep hear my voice. It's an ownership. It is a relationship. And Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, what? It is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must first believe, and secondly, believe that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So diligence means that there is a receptivity, there is an intentionality about listening to God's voice and intently wanting to know, what does God have to say about this? Have you ever gone to your prayer closet and say, God, there's a lot of voices out there, but I want to know, what do you have to say about this? You remember when Jesus went to Peter and the disciples, he said, hey, you know, a lot of people are talking about me. Who do men say that I am? And they said, well, some say you're Elijah, some say you're John the Baptist, some say this. And they said, yeah, I understand. That's all the other voices. But Peter, hey, Peter, who do you say that I am? And oh, Peter, who always got in trouble, he blurts out, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus was taken back. Said, hey, Simon Bar-Jonah, calls him by his earthly fatherly name. He said, hey, knucklehead, you're not that smart. He said, flesh and blood didn't give that to you. Your daddy's not smart. You don't have enough intelligence to know that. The Spirit of the living God gave you that word, buddy. That is a rhema word. That is a God word. That is a word from the Lord. You heard the voice of the Spirit saying to you, I am the Christ, the Son of the living God. That is called revelation knowledge. And that only comes from the voice of the Spirit. And so he says that it takes faith, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them because it was not mixed with faith in them that heard it. It takes faith, amen, because we preach the gospel all over the world. How come the whole world's not saved? Because it takes faith to believe what you just heard, amen? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach if we don't send them? So our responsibility is to send. After we send them and after we proclaim the gospel, the Lord has to take that with faith and give us the miracle. The Lord gives the increase. Amen? And so it's faith. Faith. We also, he said in chapter 4, verse 2, we also have the good news proclaimed to us just as they did. But the message they heard was of no value to them. Look at that. Because they did not share the faith of those who obeyed. The word was given to them just like us, but it had no value because they didn't have faith mixed with it. And then Romans 10:17, consequently, faith comes by hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so it's good to get the word in. Amen? Amen. And the next one is attentiveness. I think that's another prerequisite. And I think you know the story of 1 Samuel 3. The little boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli. The word of the Lord, this is important. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation. That's a sad state of affairs, Max. In the 21st century, I believe it's come back full circle. There is no widespread revelation. People are not hearing the word of the Lord. We're telling our opinions. We're telling them this. We're talking about irrelevant things, and they think it's relevant. How many know Paul told Timothy, preach the word? The word is the only thing that's going to convict. The word is the only thing that's going to confront and convert. So he said there was no revelation, no word. And it came to pass that time while Eli was lying down in place, when his eyes had begun to grow dim, he could not see. And before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord, where the ark of God was, while Samuel was lying down, the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, here I am. Remember in our series, Isaiah said, here I am. Here I am. In fact, last Wednesday night, I was teaching about Saul of Tarsus and then Ananias over here on Straight Street. Wouldn't you like to have a church on Straight Street? I'd just like to build a planet church. If I could. Hello? Oh, okay. If I could find a Straight Street in Springfield, I'd plant a church there on Straight Street. And Ananias heard from the Holy Spirit, the voice of the Spirit, right? And called to Ananias, and he said, here I am. I believe God's voice is calling. I believe he's knocking at the door. I believe he's calling people out. In fact, in that situation Wednesday night we were talking about, Saul was just converted in Acts chapter 9, and while he was blinded over here, God was speaking to Ananias over here. Can I tell you, God is orchestrating things in the supernatural and in the spirit that if your ears are not inclined to, you're going to miss it. What an incredible moment. In fact, Ananias took a back step and said, Lord, why don't you call Caleb McBain? He will go talk to Saul of Tarsus. That man's a madman. He's killing the Christians, you know. How many's ever God has spoken to you and you neglected to hear it? Well, that's a whole nother sermon. You got to be attentive to what he's saying. You see this young man. I want you to know something about Pastor. Pastor believes children can hear the voice of God. My wife was 12 years old or so and went to the Catholic Church. Listen, I don't care where you are or who you are. She was sitting in a Catholic sanctuary in the middle of the day when nobody was there, and she spoke to God and God spoke to her. Spirit bore witness with God's spirit, right? Doesn't Romans say in chapter 8, our spirit bears witness with God's spirit that we are the children of God? God wants to talk. Another one, maybe I'm in a bad spot. God's calling people out, and they have to be listening. So Eli didn't understand it. You want to trade, baby? You want to finish preaching this? Glory to God. God is calling young people out, but their ears are not inclined to hear it. Because he was a lad, nobody wants to be hard on little Samuel. But Eli, he should have known. So three times. And on the third time, Eli said to Samuel, go back and lay down. It could be the Lord is speaking to you. Can I just submit something to you this morning? I want you to sit there intently and quiet your soul, because it could be today that God speaks to your spirit and calls you out. You know, kids get called at kids' camp, youth camp, right? Last year we had three youth called. Some are sitting in the building today, okay? Because their ears were inclined to hear the voice of the Spirit. I'll never forget, I'll just give you my testimony. We'll keep going here. I won't spend too much time on Samuel. But I was 18 years old. I didn't have a whole lot of Bible training. But I drove my truck. I worked for Frito-Lay, and they didn't have any radio in my truck. And so I prayed. I just sang to the Lord and prayed. And man, you're bored to death, you know, all day long. And sometimes from store to store, I would have a little break, and I would just pray to the Lord. And I was praying one day and driving down the road, and on the sides of the highway, anybody ever have daydreaming? Okay, just a couple of you. Some of you are doing it right now, actually. I can tell by looking in your eyes. You say you don't, but I'm telling you, I know what daydreaming looked like. So anyway, praise the Lord. I'm just teasing. No, I'm not. Anyway, on the... I know some of you are on medication. I get it. But anyway, on the side of the road, there was patches of yellow flowers like daisies. It's about this time of the year. A patch here and a patch here and a patch there. And I was like, I was just noticing it, little flowers. And they're beautiful flowers. And there was patches on the side of the road. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, hey, he said, you know what that is? And I was like, yeah, look like pretty flowers. But he said, that is the established church. That is the established church. This is my church. There's one here and there's one here. And some saints are over here and saints are here. He said, but Ron, I want you to look out later. I hadn't read John 4 yet. Lift up your eyes and look into the fields that are white unto harvest. I hadn't read that yet. Didn't comprehend that word. He said, look up and look out there. Way out in the pasture, as far as you can see, was the daisies. The flowers were as packed and as far as you can see. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me. He said, that's the ones I'm calling you to reach. He said, the church is already established. Reach the lost. And I came home, told Melissa that I feel like God may be calling us into the ministry. You know, I didn't know. I really didn't know. We're talking about trying to ascertain how God is speaking to you. God speaks a lot of ways. But your ears have to be attentive to his voice. And then you have to have a multitude of counsel. You have to go get other people to confirm. The word of God can confirm, right? And I'll tell you one more story. We'll move on because my time's getting away. But here's the deal. I was praying on another occasion, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, you need to go to Bible school and train and prepare for ministry. And so I thought, wow, okay. Well, that evening, that was at 11 in the morning. That evening, I came home. I was just telling this with Phil Rojack on the way to Kansas City this week. And so on the way home, I said, I'm going to tell Melissa what the Holy Spirit spoke to me about going to prepare for Bible school. And so I got home, and we were going to go to the grocery store. We were no kids, just brand new married, driving along the interstate there, I-10 in Louisiana. I said, honey, I got something to share with you. I feel like the Lord spoke to me today and said that we need to go to Bible school and train and prepare for ministry. Well, she busted out crying. I'm talking about uncontrollable tears. And I said, but I did have pizza last night. You know what? We don't have to go to Bible school, baby. If it alarms you this bad, you know, I can do global or something. You know, I didn't even know what global was back then. No credential, no nothing, just a word from the Lord. And we pulled into the grocery store, and she's sobbing. I'm thinking, hey, don't worry about it. Don't worry. We're not going tomorrow. It was just an idea, baby, lovey, honey. Put it in park. She wipes her eyes and gains her composure. This is how it went. She said, no, you don't understand. She said, this morning at 11 o'clock, I was in my office. At 11 o'clock, same time God was speaking to me. How many believe God speaks? And he can speak to two different people at the same time about the same topic? And he said, at 11 o'clock, I was flipping through the Pentecostal Evangel, and on the back, I saw, you know, prepare for ministry. And she said, the Holy Spirit said, you and Ron need to prepare for the ministry. I said, wow. She said, but wait. She said, as soon as I said that, the enemy began to speak. How many know that Satan speaks? Satan speaks, and we like to deter the plan of God. And Satan spoke to Melissa and said, you know what? Your husband doesn't have a call of God. You might have one, and you're doing this, and so you're forcing the issue. You're pressing this. Ron doesn't want to go to Bible school. She don't know what God's telling me, right? And so she said she slammed her fist on her desk. Cajun girl. Boom. I woke up some of you just now, didn't I? That was intentional. She said, I slammed my fist on my desk and I said, Satan, you're a liar. Get thee behind me. She said, I will not utter a word about this to my husband. And if it doesn't come out of his lips, we will never go to Bible school. And so that day at 11 o'clock, God was speaking to me on the road. He was speaking to my wife in her office. And in that parking lot, we held hands and said, we will pursue the call of God. Because God speaks. Amen? Go ahead and give him praise. It's all right. God speaks. And you know what I love about the Holy Spirit is I love when he confirms through other people when they are attentive to hear the voice of the Lord. Everybody has to be attentive. Saul of Tarsus heard, Ananias heard, Ron heard, Melissa heard. We all need to be listening intently. And then discernment is important too. John 12, 28 and 29. Father, glorify your name. And then a voice came from heaven. I have glorified it and will glorify it again. God is confirming and reaffirming. Verse 29, the crowd that was there and heard it said it had thundered. Others said an angel had spoken to them. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. And the people, therefore, that stood by and heard it said that it thundered and an angel spoke it. Do you understand? Your spirit has to discern whether it be of God or not. You know, there's a lot of voices. I said there's a lot of voices out there. And you can have intentions, you can have good intentions, and you can talk yourself to just about anything. I said you could talk yourself into just about anything. And that's why we have convenient Christianity today. We believe what we want, and we hear what we want, right? Kind of like Ananias, he didn't want to hear that. Send somebody else, Lord. I'll stay here and take care of the church. You send somebody else to that madman. But God is speaking. 1 Kings 19, the Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. How many believe the Holy Spirit's about to pass by in here? I believe that. I believe God wants to speak to some people in this building today. Some of you are contemplating things. You've got some things you need to hear from God about. And you're alone, or you feel like you're alone. And then a great, great and powerful wind tore the mountain apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And the wind there, after that, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went and stood at the mouth of the cave. And a voice said to him, I love this. What are you doing here, Elijah? So, hey, you could put the emphasis on whatever syllable you want to. All right? It makes a difference when you do. Okay? Go watch this. What are you doing here, Elijah? Do you understand the meaning of that? Men of God don't belong in a cave. Or what are you doing here, Elijah? Men of God don't belong in a cave. You understand when God speaks, he speaks with clarity. But we have to discern what he's trying to say to us. Get out of the cave and go stand next to the mountain. I'm about to show myself to you. Does anybody here today believe God wants to reveal himself to you in any way? Do you believe he wants to speak to you? If you have a relationship, do you think he really is interested in what's going on in your life? I do. And so it's important that you hear the word of the Lord and be quiet, and so you can hear the gentle whisper if you need to. He also speaks through all kinds of ways. But the purpose of his speaking is important too. The purpose of his hearing of hearing is for communion. The Lord would speak to Moses face to face, as Exodus 33 says, as one speaks to a friend. Then Moses would return to the camp, but his young aide Joshua, son of Nun, did not leave the tent. Joshua saw such an incredible relationship between Moses and God that he didn't want to leave the presence of the Lord. How many's ever gotten in the presence of the Lord where you heard the voice of God and the presence of God was so real you didn't want to leave the place? Whether it was camp at an altar where you were tarrying or an encounter or in some other place where you were with the Lord and you didn't want to leave. Joshua said, I'm not leaving this place. And then later it said, while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and the voice of the cloud speaks to Moses. And he spoke to Moses as a friend. Even the Holy Spirit speaks today, right? If you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, and he will speak. It's important that you do this for communion's sake. Excellent for also for comprehension. Comprehension. In John chapter 10, he said, hear, be able to perceive. It's a ko'u, to perceive, to understand, to perceive the sense of what is being said. He wants to speak to you, and he wants not only his voice to be heard, he wants his presence to be there. Not only is it communion, but I think he wants you to comprehend. I think what turned me so close to Jesus in the early years of my salvation was that I met a group of people who acted like Jesus was actually in the room. You know, before I was going to church with people who Jesus, you know, he wasn't there. He's still on the cross, basically, crucified. He wasn't alive. And it was quiet, and, you know, nobody was even moving. It was very solemn and, you know, scary and spooky. You know, if you said anything, you were kicked out. But I went to the Assembly of God Church, and people acted as if the Lord's presence was actually there. How many know the Lord is here? And he's speaking today. It's an amazing thing to have a relationship with a living God. He's alive and he speaks. And not only does he want you to comprehend, he wants his presence to be felt. He wants you to know about his holiness. He is the good shepherd. He wants you to know about his love. He gives life for his sheep. He is committed. He wants you to know his will in chapter 10, verse 3 and verse 7. He leads them out. I am the door of the sheep. The shepherd opens the gate and leads them out. In fact, they said about shepherds that go out in the field and that they would make some kind of a makeshift corral, you know, a pen out of rock or whatever they could, debris and brush, just kind of a U shape. They would leave about a 6-foot opening for the door. And this is just what shepherds have said, people that talk to shepherds, that shepherd would lay down in that gate, in that opening. Jesus said, I am that gate. And the sheep, if he's resting, the sheep would have to crawl over the shepherd to get out. The wolf would have to crawl over the shepherd to get in. He's saying, I'm at the door of your life. Nothing's going to come in or out that's not going to affect me. I mean, no, we have a good shepherd of the sheep. The Lord is my shepherd. I have no need of anything. He leads us. He speaks to us. And he's telling us his will. Verse 17 and 18 of John 10, I have power to take it again. I put my life down. I have power to take it again. What he's saying is that I am sovereign God. I am the shepherd. You can talk to me. I have power. And he's faithful. Verse 29, no man is able to pluck them out of the Father's hand. You know what? If you leave the fold, if you leave the sheepfold, it's because you ignored the voice of the shepherd. It's amazing. They would all get, all the shepherds would get up early. Jewish shepherds would go by the mountain at Starbucks right there outside of Jerusalem. And they would have their coffee or whatever they had. And then they would chat, you know, and talk. And then all of a sudden there was paths that went out from the city out to, you know, into the pastures. And so the shepherd would take off and he had his flock, and so he would call them, and they knew his voice. So whatever it was like, how many of you ever call the cows? Anybody ever call cows? Now, we don't want you to stand up and say how you called your cows, but I'm sure it's ridiculous if we heard it. And so the shepherd would say, like, yip, 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 or some kind of crazy call. And that distinct call of that shepherd with that flock was different from this shepherd. Whatever, you know what I mean? You can tell I am not a shepherd. But whatever, the point is this. Those sheep knew the shepherd's voice. They didn't get tangled up. They didn't get crossways. They followed the shepherd. They followed the voice of the shepherd. And all these voices that are coming up, they didn't worry about them, guys, Max. They followed the one they knew. You know, when they talk about finding counterfeit money, the banker tellers, they don't study the counterfeit. They study the real. They study the real all day long. And when they see a counterfeit, they know it. And if you know the voice of God, you'll know the voice of the counterfeit every day. The more you contemplate him, the more you will realize and understand. Then compliance, chapter 10, verse 4. They follow him. James 1:22. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. I know this is a lot, but I really want you to get this, because compliance is one of the things that we're finding a hard time with disciples today. A lot of people hearing, but they're not doing. A lot of people believe, but they're not behaving like they believe. So there's a lot of believers, but not a lot of followers. Are you hearing what I'm saying? In Jesus' day, a lot of people may have believed he was Messiah, but not everybody followed him. Those that followed were compliant. They dropped their nets. They left their business. And they took off and followed the Lord. And he taught them everything he knew. And he commanded them to go out and tell everybody else. In Luke 6:46 is proof. He said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? Do not do the things which I say. And then 28, he said, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey. You know, it's one thing to hear it, It's another comprehend and be comply. And then finally, the provision of hearing his voice. It's really simple and it's very practical. And I hope you leave with this today. And that is that God speaks. In the Old Testament, he speaks because Hebrews 1 said in the last days, right? In the last days, God, who at sundry times in divers places spoke in times past in the Old Testament through the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us through his Son. He spoke then and he speaks now, right? And so he has given provision. So the provision he gave to us in the Old Testament, he spoke through angels. He spoke through manifestations of the glory of God, smoking furnaces and donkeys and gentle whispers and fire. He spoke through wind. He speaks through the prophets, through visions. He speaks through dreams. Are you hearing me? God speaks. He speaks to little boys. He speaks to grown men. He speaks to ladies. We don't have time to talk about Hannah, who was really, really discouraged, who really wanted a baby boy. That Samuel we were talking about, he's an answer to prayer. God knows what he's doing, and God speaks, and God does miraculous signs. I didn't have time to put them all on there, but burning bushes, pillar of cloud, fire. And God speaks today through the New Testament. He speaks through Jesus, his own. So how many know Jesus speaking? He is speaking today. The Holy Spirit is speaking today. The Bible is speaking. The preacher of the gospel is speaking on any given day this morning. While somebody's proclaiming the word of God, the Holy Spirit can extrapolate something said. Maybe a phrase, maybe a word, maybe Brother Phil, God says something to you today. Maybe he's saying something to Max over here. It's one message, a bunch of different, one sermon, a bunch of different messages are going out. Because I read enough scripture to make the devil mad today. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And so, John 15:15, I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. Isn't that something? Jesus is speaking. The Holy Spirit is speaking. The Bible is speaking. Inspiring. Every word, everything is profitable for doctrine, reproof, for correction, for instruction. In essence, the Bible is God's breath, God's word. I just want to ask you today, can you hear him? I want Chrissy to come back because this is just the first practical prerequisites, the purpose, and God is helping us to know that he has provided for us a way to hear the gospel, hear the word of the Lord. And you know what? We'll be in this a while. Because I think somehow we need to train our students, our young people. We need to train our, some of us have become dull of hearing. You know, Hebrews says we can't hear anymore. Even if we do hear, we can't comprehend. So it takes all of these things that we talked about this morning. I want you to stand with me as they are coming to worship and create an atmosphere conducive for us hearing the voice of God. Basically, it's risky to only hear one voice. It's risky. And there's a lot of wisdom in a multitude of counsel. So God, when he speaks, we'll talk to you later about how you can confirm that with others. We'll talk to you about some other things in this series. But the point today is that you know he's made a provision to talk to you. Maybe no one here today needs to converse with God about anything. I doubt that very seriously. But if you're here this morning, you say, Pastor Ron, I need to hear from the Lord. I need to hear from the Lord. Let me see your hand. I need to hear from the Lord. Yep, I figured so. We're going to worship the Lord. We've got 10 minutes. 10 minutes. I'm done. 20 after. We've got 10 minutes. You can come. Spend some time. Quiet your soul. Turn your heart to God. If you're not a Christian today, if you're not born again, your mind is not understanding because it's blocked. Until the blood of Jesus cleanses you, you're not going to be able to understand or articulate what he's articulating to you. The Holy Spirit will make the difference, make up the difference. Altars are open. If you need to take care of some business with God, if there's something you need to hear from God, if you're in a situation where you need to have a comforting word, he'll give you that. An encouraging word, some instruction, some direction, some wisdom, some guidance. And more importantly, instead of just telling you, he will show up and meet you right here. Altars are open. God bless you. Thank you for being here.